Still, well, I just found out. Why? I'm moving. Pastor Matt, Donnie, everybody's saying you got to move in the spirit, man. You got to step forward and make movement. That's what faith is. So I can go back and tell my college professor, hey, man, I want my A+ back. I was moving in the spirit the entire time, right? Yeah, thank you. It's my excuse anyways. So I had I had a blast this week, man. We got to go to Tennessee. Pastor Matt and Judy were telling you about the conference. It was absolutely amazing. Holy Spirit showed up. It was very physically and mentally and emotionally draining. We got home Friday about 2:00 in the morning. It was some powerful stuff, and I got to meet some amazing people. And I probably think one of the biggest blessings for me was we left. Tennessee about 10 o'clock, somewhere around there. We were driving, and there were 6 of us in the van, and we were just talking, and we were laughing, and just doing family and having a good old time. And where we were at in Tennessee, the starlight of the town was a Dollar General. So I went to the Dollar General twice. And Pastor Matt and myself, we were craving some McDonald's, man, just the whole time. We were craving some burgers. Well, we get through Chattanooga, and I looked at Rachel, I said, we got to stop. I need a burger. It's 11:30 at night. I said, we got to stop. I need me a burger or something. So we pull into this McDonald's, the doors open, and we walk in and praise Jesus, Holy Spirit. There wasn't a single person in line. So John Watson walks in. John Watson goes in first, and he gets him a biscuit, and he walks out, and I get up there, and I'm like, whoo, glory, glory, glory. Let me get a double quarter meal with fries and a drink, please. My wife orders. I grab my debit card. I swipe the debit card. I put the debit card back in my pocket. I just stare around. I look back. The lady's just staring at me. I'm like, what? Thought she had a word for me. She said, I need you to swipe your debit card. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I thought I did. I swipe it again. She said, it's not working. I'm like, well, I got some money in there. I said, let me try another card. I swipe it. It ain't working. She screams back. She goes, hey. She looks at the manager. She goes, debit card machine ain't working. A slight panic crawls over me. I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no. Well, while they're trying to figure out the debit card machine, they set the brown bag of deliciousness right there in front of me, almost as a taunt that you might not get this brown bag. Well, there's people behind me. They're starting to get a little frustrated at the time. The manager comes up, he goes, yep, it's a server error. I'm like, okay. What does that mean? He said, we got to reset the machines. I'm like, go ahead and do it. It might take a while. I'll wait. People starting to get frustrated behind me. So finally, I'm watching, and she's looking at the screen. She still says server error. I said, I still don't know what that means. It's not changing. So finally, Rachel looks at me. She goes, we got to go. She goes, we got to go. I'm like, I'm just looking at the bag, and I'm contemplating just grabbing a few fries out the bag because technically it's mine. I have swiped the card multiple times. So, I mean, if I eat a couple fries, well, finally, Holy Spirit shows up, and the lady looks at me. She said, it ain't working. She said, but this is on us. And she hands me the brown bag of goodness. Y'all, I'm going to tell you right now, you ain't never had a double quarter pounder that's as good as a free one. I enjoyed every bite of that. It lasted about 13 seconds. Amen. That's my message for the day. Uh-oh. There we go. No, man. I did. I had a good time. And, Holy Spirit, man, just he's been doing some things for the past couple weeks, and he's just been taking me on some journeys, man. He's been taking me back to some roots, some places where I first started this journey. So that's why I want to talk about this morning. But before we do, I just want to pray real quick. I just want to say, Father God, I thank you. Father God, I just thank you that you're an amazing dad. And there's not a single thing we can do that'll change that. Holy Spirit, I just ask for more. I just ask you just allow me to plagiarize you. That it's not about me. It's not about me standing up here. It's not about titles. It's not about positions. It's not about microphones. But it's solely about you. And that's all I care about. So, Father God, I pray you just stand up here and you just hold my hand. And let this be about you. Jesus, I love you and I thank you. Amen. So this past couple weeks, I've really been praying a lot, and the Holy Spirit's been leading me back to years ago when I first decided to run with Jesus. And you know, I was born and raised, I'm a Southern Baptist, so I've always been a Christian. It was inherited. I inherited Christianity, man. I'm Southern Baptist. But probably about 7 or 8 years ago, something changed. Something changed about 7 or 8 years ago. Rachel and I, we met, and I knew something in my spirit. I knew there was a piece missing. That there was a void inside of me that I kept trying to fill with so many things, and it just wasn't working. And Rachel and I were talking, and she felt the same way. And, you know, I sat down, I talked to Rachel's mom one day, and I said, you know, I feel like something's missing, and I know it's God. It's not a mystery. I know God is missing in my life. I know He is. I'm not searching. I'm holding back is what I'm doing. I'm scared to say, God, I know I have a hole inside of me. I know you can fill it. I know you want to fill it. I'm scared to do that. Well, I had some friends who invited us to a church in Tyrone, and if I had to credit any one person for showing me the heart of Jesus, I'd have to credit this man. He was a pastor of a church. His name was Pastor Greg, and to this day, he's a good friend of mine. And if I'm ever, you know, need some elderly advice, I'll call on him. And I remember going to this church, and you know, it's amazing because this church is a lot like One Life. When you walk in, just so open, Holy Spirit, you can just feel it as soon as you walk in the door. And I remember going in, and he, you know, I'm a big guy and he's a big guy, he's a little bigger than I am. And I remember getting in there, and he would stand up there and he would tell jokes. And I'd never been to a church like this before. I'd never been to a church where the pastor didn't wear a suit and tie. I'd never been to a church where the pastor didn't have a Bible open and for some reason the page never moved the entire time. I'd never been to a church where the pastor didn't have a sweat rag and he was damping the sweat off his face the entire time. I'm not saying anything's wrong with it. I'm just saying I've never experienced a church different than that. So I go to this church and this man, this big man, gets up there and he's got blue jeans and a t-shirt on and he's standing up on the stage and he's telling jokes. And I'm blown away, man. I'm like, can you do that? Are you allowed to do that? I mean, is Jesus cool with us laughing? And he's telling jokes. And he's making me laugh. And I'm dying the whole time. And then he gets up there and he starts preaching on the heart of God. And he starts preaching about Jesus. He starts preaching about the Holy Spirit and how powerful they are. And that Father God doesn't want you seeing him sitting on a throne with a crown, with a scepter pointing you, wanting to bonk you in the head every time you mess up. He said he's a dad and he's sitting in a rocking chair and he wants you to climb up on his lap. And that's what. And as he's telling this, this giant man starts crying. And next thing I know, I have a wet tissue in my hand. I'm like, what is happening right now? My God. See, he taught me what the heart of God looks like. And I'd credit this man for starting me on my run, my jog, my walk with Jesus. And because my view of Father God, the last song you sang, I never met a father, because my view of God was all white robe, white beard, sitting on a throne. He had a remote control in his hand with a TV sitting beside. Because what happens is when you show up on your day of judgment, he's going to hit that DVR button. He's going to show you everything you did wrong in your life. And I was terrified, man. I worked so I didn't have to go to hell. That my main goal was don't go to hell. That's my main goal, man. And he showed me a different story. He showed me a different way of doing that. He said, it ain't about not going to hell. He said, heaven's going to come. He said, you're going to get to heaven, and it's going to be more than you can imagine. He said, you can picture it all day long. You can imagine all day long. He said, but you're wrong. He said, it's so much better than that. He said, you're wrong. But in a good way, you're wrong. And he took me back to that those memories, and he really just kind of started showing me my walk. And I remember going into these churches on Sundays, and I'd get so pumped. I'd get so jazzed, man. Sometimes I can be an overzealous type person. I can get loud, and people have to say, shh, calm down, bro. And I'd leave Sunday, man, and I'm pumped. Dude, I'm going all over. Monday morning, I'm walking into work. I'm jazzed, man. You ain't doing nothing to me. Monday afternoon, I'm still pumped. I've lost a little air, but I'm still floating. But dude, that wasn't a fat joke. Stop laughing. Good night. I'm good. By Tuesday, I'm still good, man. By Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, dude, my picture a gas gauge, man. My gas gauge was on full. And sometimes I'd make it to church on Wednesday, and I'd get a little filled up. But, man, by Wednesday night, man, I'm slap on E. I'm halfway through the week. I'm on E, buddy. How many of you guys have ever looked at your gas gauge in your car, and you're on E, and it payday ain't till Friday? Bro, I ain't the only one that's been broke. I said, Father God, so what do I need to do? How can I keep my gas gauge from going to E? I can't call Pastor Greg every single day. He's got 80 members. He's got his own life. He's got work. I cannot solely rely on my pastor to fill me up every single day. I cannot rely on my salvation being in my pastor's hands. Can't do it, man, because if that's the case, you're in a lot of trouble. I got to do this every single day. What do I need to do every single day? And he showed me a picture of a beautiful table full of food. He said, I want you to sit down and eat. This is your Sunday brunch. This is your Sunday dinner. I want you to eat. Now, this is going to be the only time you eat for the rest of the week. Monday, you could probably make it through. Tuesday, you're going to get a little grouchy. By Wednesday, you ready to kill somebody. Let me get some popcorn or something. Dude, you cannot do it in the spiritual either. If you literally come in on Sunday, you eat, and you can get as full as you want. You can walk out of here, pants unbuttoned. It don't matter. But I guarantee you, by Tuesday or Wednesday, if you have not ate anything else, buddy, you're going to be hungry, and you're going to be grumpy, and you're going to be grouchy, and your husband and your wife are going to look at each other like, I hate you. I hate you right now. I ain't going to look at Rachel. I'm just going to skip right over ahead. Y'all saw what I did? I just did it right here. But she can look at me right now and say, you butthole. Jesus. I said, Father, how do I experience you every single day? Father God, how can I experience you in my car? How can I experience you in my home? How can I experience you in my office like I experience you in church? Father God, how do I do that? And you know what he said to me? He's fun. I'm going to look at my notes. He said, I can show you. I can teach you. I can even lead you. He said, but it's going to cost you something. That's a scary thing to hear from God. When someone says to you, I can give you something, but it's going to cost you, what's a natural reaction? What's the natural reaction? What's something you say naturally? How much? Someone said, hey, man, I'll give you this hot dog. It's going to cost you something. How much? I'll give you this car. It's going to cost you something. How much? Dude, them two words right there can get you in a lot of trouble. Them two words is poison in my house. I'll look at it. My line? Rachel and I ain't perfect. We ain't got a perfect marriage. I'm not a big arguer. I'm a very passive guy. I just ain't got time for arguing. I'm too lazy. I'll share it with you, church. There's two things we argue about. One, laundry. I hate doing laundry, and I'm going to be honest, I hate putting laundry in the hamper. If you cannot find me, just look on the floor. You'll find my clothes. Where's he at? There he is. When I get home with my house, you show up unannounced, you're gonna be surprised. My house, I pay bills, I'm comfortable. Donnie knows. He'll show up unannounced. Don't do it. Second thing we argue about is how much. My wife, God, she's an amazing person. She'll go grocery shopping and she'll come back and she'll be so excited. She'll be like, babe, I got us some healthy salads or some sides. I got some asparagus. I got us some steak. Just a little side note, I hate steak. Absolutely hate it. You invite me over, have a burger. I don't like it. When I grew up, we had steak if you got married or you died. Those are the only two times. Somebody dead or somebody got married. That's it. That's steak night. She say, I got us some steak. I got us some healthy sides. I got you some protein mix. I'm like, oh, that's awesome, babe. How much was it? And she, you can see her look at me. She'll be like, really? I did this for you. And you seriously going to ask me how much I spent? Rewind. Jesus. Or she'll go clothing shopping. And she wants to keep Tripp looking fashionable. She wants to keep him in the nicest shoes. I can't blame her. I want my son to look good. She'll come back. She'll have Aiden some pacifiers. And she'll come in and she'll say, I want to show you what I got the kids. And I know it's coming. I know my flaws. I know my weaknesses. I ain't scared to tell you. She'll say, let me show you. She's starting to show me all these clothes. And mentally, I'm adding it up. And I try. I promise you, I try. And I said, those are nice, babe. Those are beautiful. I like that. But it'll sneak out over here. I was like, them some good looking shoes. How much? Oh, shut up. I find myself doing it even when I don't try. Unfortunately, or actually I'll say fortunately, there's a cost to everything. There's a cost to every single thing. Man, there's a cost to doing this. There's a cost to doing church. Y'all know there's a cost to running church. I never understood it growing up. I couldn't figure out why churches want to tithe money. I was like, well, Jesus don't need no money. Well, I forgot. I'm over there writing on the paper they had to buy. I'm doodling on stuff. There's a cost to everything. There's a cost to walking with Jesus, man. There really is a cost, and there's areas in Scripture where Jesus is talking to his disciples, he's talking to his followers, and he's discussing this cost. And the first time you see it, you'll see it in Matthew 8, and we have it for the board. And I'm a little different. I don't just stare at the board and read. My attention span don't last that long. So I'm just going to kind of tell you what it is. In Matthew 8, and it's in Matthew 8:18, Jesus is with his disciples. And he's healing people. He's in the middle of his ministry and he's walking around, he's healing people. And you see there's a crowd of people who start forming around Jesus because they're curious. They're wanting to see what he's doing. They're excited. They really are. They're curious, probably the best word you could say. And people start to gather and the crowd starts to gather and they're curious and they start asking Jesus questions. And Jesus looks at his disciples and says, hey, take them to the other side of the lake. And then a man comes up and he was a scribe. And I'll give you just a little brief note that in Jesus' ministry, a scribe would probably have been more efficient than 12 fishermen. He could have probably had more use for one scribe in his ministry than 12 fishermen. A scribe comes up, he says, teacher, I want to follow you. Teacher, I will follow you. And see, what's awesome about Jesus is Jesus does a lot of things differently than how we would depict he would do it, right? Here's Jesus. He's beside this lake and he's healing people and a crowd of people start to form. And one of the scribes comes up who could have been very useful. He says, teacher, I want to follow you right now. I will follow you. I'll go with you. And Jesus says, take him to the other side of the lake. Jesus stepped down from heaven, stepped into flesh to bring heaven to earth, to encourage people to follow him. so he could lead them to the Father. Well, here's a man who's come to him and says, hey, I want to do just that. I want to follow you. I want to do what you need to do. And Jesus looks at him, and Jesus can see into the man's heart, and he says, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Why this reaction? Why not say, absolutely, come on. I love to hear it, brother, come on. Let's run this race again. Let's go change the world. Instead of saying that, come on, why did he say, look, foxes have a home, birds have a home, my home isn't here. I have no place to lay my head at night. I have no place to rest. Why did he say that? I think Jesus was more concerned with the crowd gathering than he was excited. I think he was worried that they were there for the wrong reason. That they didn't understand the cost. That they were getting a little too overzealous. They were getting a little too excited. And they weren't considering the cost. They were kind of jumping the gun, right? And he says, you know, he's looking at the crowd. He said, if you're here to follow me, he's looking at the scribe. He goes, now, if you're here to follow me, this ride's going to get a little rough. It's going to get a little bumpy. We don't have a place where we can lay our head at night and rest. If you want this, this happy-go-lucky ride where, you know, everybody approves of you, everybody likes you, everybody loves you, everybody affirms you, that meeting is over there on the other side of the lake. That's, you know, I don't know if you guys got the memo. This here, this might get a little rough. I can't guarantee you your family's going to like you if you go on this trip. Cannot guarantee you your friends are still going to be your friends. If you're not wanting to go on that trip, you might want to go to the other side of the lake, man. He was worried that their excitement was making their decisions. I can tell you this from personal experience. When I started my walk with Jesus all those years ago, I didn't consider the cost. I'm glad I'm still doing it. The cost is so much worth it. But I didn't consider the cost. What I thought was this. I thought that it was going to be like, you know, gumdrops and daisies, that I was going to go to an altar, say, Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior, and that's it. And then I'm going to go home, and I'm going to say, Mom, Dad, guess what? I accepted Jesus. You guys get Jesus too, and we're going to be a perfect family. I'm going to go hang out with my friends at a restaurant on a Saturday night and say, hey, guys, guess what? I accepted Jesus. You guys got to accept Jesus now too. And we're going to go change the world together, man. Isn't that great? We just got to stop all that stuff we were doing. But, you know, that's just the legality stuff. We'll write that in. I was so wrong. Woo. Man, I was wrong, dude. I lost friends. I had family criticize me. It's been 7 years. I still got people criticizing me. Dude, I tell you what, I handled a lot of situations wrong. I did not handle things like a mature Christian should have. But it was a process, man. I was still growing. I look back now and I realize where I messed up. I realize where I made the mistakes, and I've tried to mend for those mistakes. And I've sent out, you know, I've asked for forgiveness, and I've given forgiveness. You've got to be able, when you do this thing, you've got to be able to give yourself permission to mess up. If you have never given yourself permission to mess up, you need to. Because guilt and shame is not something you're supposed to carry around with you. It's not meant for you. Jesus is with his disciples again at another time, and another crowd starts to form around. You're starting to see a pattern with this. A crowd starts coming, and the questions start coming. And when they say, the crowd says, Jesus, how do we become disciples? How do we come into discipleship? And this is in Luke. I don't have it for the board, but this is in Luke 14, if you want to look it up. And they said, Jesus, how do we do this? How do we go into discipleship? And he's talking to him, and he's telling him, you know, it comes to me, don't hate your father and your mother and your children, leave them. But then this is neat. In verse 28, this is Jesus talking. He's telling the crowd, he says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you. The first thing I hear when I hear that is that don't start something you ain't ready to finish. Don't start something you can't finish. Before you plan to build a tower, sit down, count the cost, and make sure you have enough resources to finish the task. Let me explain something to you. Money is not the only resource. Money is probably down the list. Time, commitment. Those are probably two of the most precious resources you have. Money will fall in there. I can't tell you how many times I've started a project and I haven't finished. Man, if your women are cutting their eyes at you, just stare at me. We'll get through this together. I promise. We'll get through it together. Women, if a man says he's going to do a job, he's going to do it. You ain't got to remind him every 6 months. He'll get it done. I can assure you. Consider the cost. I've started projects. I haven't finished projects because it got too expensive. I lost interest in it. It took too much time. It took too much energy. It got too hard. Whatever the excuse was, the issue was this. The issue was I didn't sit down, and Rachel will tell you this, Pastor Matt will tell you, anybody who knows me very well will tell you this. I didn't sit down and count the cost. I got too excited. And when I get excited, sometimes I'm not the only one. When we get excited, when we get zealous, we jump on things real quick, right? Not thinking about the cost that we're going to have to pay. Not thinking how much time this is going to take away from us. Not thinking how much money, how much commitment this is going to do. We just jump at it. And this is what Jesus is warning us here. He's like, you know, you need to think. Count the cost. Think about it. I posted something this week, and I felt like it had so much truth. It says, don't promise when you're happy, don't reply when you're angry, and don't decide when you're sad. Dude, I'll be the first person to say, when we get excited, we let our emotions take over, we jump on things, we have... I was like, what is that noise? It's Donnie's microphone. We get excited, and we don't think, and we just, you know, we just go for it, right? We jump on it. Man, I'm excited. I want to do this project. I'll do it right now. I want you to just imagine a football field for me. Imagine a football field. Two teams are on there, and they're going at it. And at the end of a play, this 300-pound offensive lineman is running toward the sidelines. And he's running toward the coach, and he takes his helmet off, and he's crying. He says, Coach, he hit me. He called me a bad name. He told me to stay down. And you look at Coach, and you're like, yeah. What did you expect was going to happen? You went out on the field. You've been in training. You've been in practice for this. What did you think was going to happen when you stepped up against another 300-pound lineman? I mean, come on. At no point in Scripture do you ever see Jesus try to trick anyone into this. In fact, I can't find a scripture where he's trying to convince you into this. He offers it freely. Follow me, change the world. There's a cost, and it's so worth it. So worth it. This isn't a fear tactic. This is a simply trying to help people understand what it's worth, what the cost is. If you got people in the boat with you, make sure they're rowing in the same direction as you. Simple as that. You have the right to look around your boat and make sure that people are rowing the right direction. You have the right to do that. Your boat. We serve an amazing God, man. Whatever the cost is for you, money, time, friends, whatever the cost is, it's so much better than the void you'll have in your life if you don't chase after it. I promise you that because I've been there myself. I've had that void. I've lived with it a long time. I was so ashamed. I carried around blame and guilt. And I was talking to a person at the Sozo conference this week. And I said, you know what? If you would have come up to me when I was 17 years old or 18 years old, heck, 20 years old, and you put a $100 bill on the table and you said, I'll give you that $100 if you go up to one total stranger who means nothing to you and you'll never see again, and just say, I love Jesus, that $100 is yours. I told her to keep her money. I carried that much shame and that much guilt around. I had that much fear of what other people thought about me that I wouldn't have done it. Now I said, I tell you what, you keep your $100, I'm going to pray for you, we're going to bless you, and I don't know what else we're going to do. How's that for you? We'll just do that. I asked people, for about a month, the Lord put something on my heart. Can y'all hear me if I talk like this? Just for a minute. The Lord put something on my heart a couple weeks ago. And I've just been asking random people a question. I've asked people this question. I said, if I came up to you right now and I gave you $5, it's your $5, you do with it whatever you want to do, I will know the difference now. Or, you take that $5 and you can walk into a holy study and come and open it up and get that $5 again. I believe. I don't know, but I believe if you do that, but if I gave you 20, same rule applies. You keep that money, that's your 20 bucks, do what you want to. Take yourself out to dinner, I don't care. You give it to a total stranger, I believe, I don't know, God's going to bless you. You see him quit. Close the time, you know what? Cool. What if it's $100? What if it's $1,000? What if I hand you the winning Powerball ticket? What if I hand you $1,000? Same rules apply. Yeah. Every person I've asked, well, Will, what would you have done? Looking at me like I'm throwing condemnation on them. I may have kept the $5. Told you gas tanks on E. No, I wouldn't have kept the $5. I said, what would you do? The rules haven't changed, but the value of what you have in your hand has. The rules haven't changed. What I've seen is this. When I get to the 20, the 50, the 100, the $1,000 question, people start thinking about what's in their bank account right now. They start thinking about the bills that are on their kitchen table that haven't been paid. They start thinking, man, the car was smoking last week. We want to have another kid. I need more money. It's in the moment you're faced with the decision that we will have to sacrifice something, you start thinking about your own circumstances. The sacrifice never changed. The rules never changed. What changed was the way we viewed what we had to give up. That's the only thing to change. Think about it. Pray on it. It's been 3-4 weeks. I'm still praying about it. To know what I would do if somebody walked up with $1,000 and handed it to me. Would I be able to hand that away to somebody I don't know? I'd love to say the answer is yes. I'm still praying on it, man. That right there is what you see Jesus talking about through all the scriptures. When he's talking about the cost, that's the best way I know how to break it down is that right there. It's what do you want? The cost is what are you willing to sacrifice for more of him? I love what y'all said this morning. This Holy Spirit there. There's no ending, so you can never get enough. You can have a little 12-ounce glass. You got a gallon of milk. Just keep pouring, keep pouring, keep pouring. It's going to overflow. That's fine. Just keep pouring. I don't mind you overflowing on me, Holy Spirit. I don't mind at all. Just keep going, because I never want to be half empty. I don't ever want to be half full. I want to be overflowing is what I want. This is probably one of my most favorite depictions right here. Jesus is in a town and he's teaching, he's walking around, and this young man walks up. You guys know the story. This young man walks up to him, says, "Teacher, what good things do I got to do to get into heaven?" And Jesus looks at him. Scripture, if you depending on what verse you read, says Jesus looked at him in love. He said, "You need to follow the law and you have to obey my commandments." The young man looks at him and says, "Which ones?" He says, "All of them." And he starts listing off the commandments one by one. Honor your mother and father. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't covet. And the young man looks at Jesus and he says, "I've done all of that. What else do I lack?" And Jesus looked at him in love and says, "Then you ought to go sell all your possessions and give it to the poor, and follow me." Bible says the man turns from Jesus, and he's saddened, and he walks away because he had so much. See, it's the story of the rich young ruler. He's a young man. He was a ruler. He was rich. He had everything. My question is this. Why did Jesus tell him he could be saved by keeping the commandments? Why didn't he just say, "Believe in me, I'm the way, the truth, the light, no one comes to the Father but through me"? Why didn't he just say that? Because I believe he saw the man's heart. And I believe he knew that the man wasn't ready to give up everything he had. He wasn't ready to sacrifice the one thing he coveted the most. See, he didn't obey all the commandments. He said he did, but he didn't. Because he coveted his wealth a lot more than he was ready to give Jesus. See, here's the thing. This man was ready to follow Jesus. He was ready. He came up and said, "Hey, what do I need to do? Tell me what I need to do. I'm ready." And he was ready to follow Jesus until he realized it was going to cost him something. He was ready until he realized he had to pay something for it. Question you got to ask yourself is, you know, are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to handle the money away if that's what Jesus tells you to do? Are you willing to give your time away? Maybe it's not money. Maybe God isn't calling you to quit your job. Maybe God's not calling you to go and hand out $5 bills everywhere you go. Maybe God is calling you to take your time and spend time with people in a nursing home or people in church. I love the fact that we have church members who go up to hospitals and see other members while they're in the hospital. My God, dude, do you realize how amazing that is? That's absolutely amazing that we have church members who will take food to other families in need. Oh my, that is just mind blowing, guys. It truly is. I'll wrap up with this. God's not mad at anybody. He's not disappointed in you. I heard that over and over this week. God hates me. He's disappointed in me. He doesn't love me. He's frustrated with me. Oh, man. Dude. He wants a relationship with you is what he wants. I told you I pictured God on a throne with a crown and a scepter ready to bonk you in the head, man. It took me years before I could call God Father God. Then it took me more years to where I can call Father God Dad. It's a process. It's steps. God's not frustrated. He's not mad. Keep moving. keep moving forward. Don't stand still. Don't get stagnant. Keep walking around. Keep going. Step out of your comfort zone. Go pray with somebody. Go to the hospital. Take somebody some food. Give somebody $5 if you got it. If you're in a relationship, and I mean if you're in a good relationship, you understand what sacrifice is. But if you're in a relationship and you're in a good relationship, you realize the cost of being in a relationship is worth it. If you ask your question, what's the cost? It's different for everybody. Surrender. Give it up. Whatever the cost is, give it up. Because I promise you this, it's worth it to be in a relationship with Him. So worth it. Amen? So I'm going to ask Stephen to come back up. And I just want to... I want to bless you guys. I just want to pray real fast just over every single person in here, because I want you to know God's not mad. He's not disappointed. In fact, it's quite the opposite. If you've never called Him Father God, man, He calls you son and daughter. Whether you call Him Father or not, He still calls you son and daughter. He will never call you into something He's not prepared to walk through it with you. I've never seen God walk someone to a situation in their life and say, go ahead, I'll meet you on the other side. Instead, what He does is He takes you to these places, these places that really all it is for you to grow, for you to get healing, for you to get forgiveness, for you to extend forgiveness. He takes you to those places so that can happen, so you can be healed, so you can be set free. And He takes you to these places. He said, let's open the door together, and I'll tell you what, we're going to walk in side by side, and I've got you through every bit of this. I would have realized the cost to follow Jesus. I got a good deal on that, because He's worth more than what I paid. I got a great deal on it. I got the best deal in the century. Will you guys stand with us? And we just go into worship, and I believe what Pastor Matt said this morning is true. I believe there's people right now who are saying, oh, man, I wish I could walk up there. But I'm worried what these people would think. I'm new here. I haven't earned the right to step up to the front. That's not the voice of God. We go into worship. What I want you to do is I want you to put blinders on to where you can't see anyone to the left or to the right of you. Because what you're getting ready to experience is one-on-one. No one will look at you crazy. No one will look at you differently. It doesn't matter if they did. Because this is a time for you and your dad. If you've never experienced a Father's love, man, this is it. If you've ever wondered what it's like, He'll show you. Or maybe your dad's been gone for a while, and you want to feel it again. Here you go. This is it. I encourage you, do not fear keep you from a relationship with Him. I promise you, it's the best thing you'll ever do. You'll never regret it. I promise. Father God, we come to You today, Father, and I just thank You for a relationship, Father God. I thank You that whatever the cost we have to pay to walk with You, Jesus, that it's not enough. I'll pay it over and over and over again just to experience another day with You. So Father God, I pray for those who are in this room, and I know they're in this room, who want to experience you the way a father embraces a son, or the way a father embraces a daughter. Father God, I pray you just take them right now. Holy Spirit, I pray you're just wrapping them right now, that there's no denying you moving in this place. Holy Spirit, I just call for freedom to fall in this room right now, for healing to come, for hurts to be washed away and unforgiveness to be issued. I speak over parents that you can learn to love your children the way Father God loves us. For husbands to love your wives the way God loves the church. That if you're in this room and you've just kind of been walking through this thing and you ain't really sure what it's about yet, or you're not sure how this really works. I'm not sure how this Christianity thing works. I'm not sure how this walk with Jesus works. I'm just not 100% sure. I'm kind of going through the motions. I'm here because someone's telling me to be here, but I'm not 100% sure. That can end today. You can slam that door shut today, and you can walk into full agreement that Jesus is with you, that Father God loves you, and the Holy Spirit will surround you wherever you go. So Father God, I thank you and I love you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.